standing tonight, and we'll read the Word of God together from the King James 16:11 Bible. Amen. God's infallible, inerrant Word. I'm so glad that it is. Amen. I'm glad God's given us a book written by men of old as they were moved by the Spirit of God. And I want to thank God for it. Amen. And trust the Lord will use it tonight. And I'm dealing tonight with a subject that's not going to be very favorable. It's not really going to be, it's not going to be anything to shout about, I guarantee you on that. And but it's the only thought that I have, and I know I say this a lot and you laugh at me, but I'm telling you the truth. I will not. I just don't have it. Dr. Harold Sotler said that I just have a thought. That's it. And but it's all that God would give me in my heart tonight, and I want to deal with it for a few minutes. It's a very solemn thought, and so I want us to try to pay attention for at least for a few minutes of what I got to say, and hope that the Lord will help each of us. I want you to turn your Bible to the book of Jeremiah, and chapter number 7, verse number 34. Jeremiah chapter 7, that's the last verse in that chapter. Jeremiah chapter 7. And verse number 34 in the Word of God. Okay? Jeremiah 7:34. And I want to begin reading there in that verse. And the Bible said, "Then will I cause to cease from the cities of Judah and from the streets of Jerusalem the voice of mirth and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, for the land shall be desolate. At that time, saith the Lord, they shall bring out the bones of the kings of Judah, and the bones of the princes, and the bones of the priests, and the bones of the prophets, and the bones of the inhabitants of Jerusalem out of their graves. And they shall spread them before the sun and the moon, and all the host of heaven, whom they have loved and whom they have served, and after whom they have walked, and whom they have sought, whom they have worshipped, they shall not be gathered, nor be buried. They shall be for dung upon the face of the earth. And death shall be chosen rather than life by all the residue of them that remain of this evil family, which remain in all the places whither I have driven them, saith the Lord of hosts." Now, may God add His blessing to the reading of that Word. Let's pray together for just a few minutes. Heavenly Father, I thank You, Lord, for the privilege to be back in the house of God tonight. I ask You to bless our hearts and open our understanding. Grant us liberty tonight, Lord, and power in Your presence to be manifest to every heart, sinners to be saved. I pray that God's people be revived and those that are sick away from us. I pray for their healing, those that are away from us tonight, Lord, for various reasons. I pray for them as well, that You'd move their heart. Bless these that are here. Help Brother Hall tonight say what needs to be said for Your honor and for Your glory, and we'll thank You for it. In Jesus' wonderful name we pray. Amen and amen. Thank You, and you may be seated. I was reading through this portion of Scripture just the other morning, and I saw a verse there. It really caught my attention, and I've read it a number of times, but I never, you know, sometimes you'll see a verse of Scripture in a little different light than you've ever seen it before. And there's some things that I would never believe unless I read them from the Word of God. You know, if man says some things, I don't have to believe man. Us people, we make mistakes. And we're certainly not God, but God wrote this and not man. Man wrote it, but they wrote it by the inspiration of the Spirit of God. And so it is an anointed book. It's a holy book. It's a pure book, a righteous book, and it's without mistake and it's without error. There's no mistakes in it. And I'd have never believed this unless I'd read it in the Word of God. But Jeremiah said there in verse number 3, "And death shall be chosen rather than life." Now, that's a hard saying. That's hard for you and I to get a hold of, that there can actually be things worse than death. And, you know, like I said, if God hadn't written that, I'd find that hard to believe. But because God wrote it, I don't find it a bit difficult to believe tonight that He said there are things in this life whereby man would rather choose death than he would to live. Things can happen. Things can transpire. And they can take place very quickly at times in people's lives. And put them in a position within their own heart and soul that they'd rather be dead than to go on living. Now, Jeremiah is writing this as part of the message in the temple gate. And he's writing it to the people of Judah. And in verse 34, he talks about them losing their mirth and their joy. And in other words, losing their happiness.
Yes.
And the reason they have is because of verse number 2. They've sought after all means of idolatry. They turned out to be an idolatrous people. And it talks about, the Lord mentions there, those that they sought and those that they loved and those that they sought after and so forth. And Israel became a very idolatrous people. And the Lord said He was going to judge them and scatter them throughout the nations. And He did. And He talks about the death of those that have died. And He said, just bring their bones out and lay them in front of those gods that they worship. Lay them out in front of under the sun and the moon and all the host of heaven. And put their bones under the gods that they have worshipped. And said, don't ever let them be buried. Just let them become as dung of the earth. And then he makes that statement. And at that time, he says, at this particular time, and death shall be chosen rather than life. And, there are some things in life that I believe that man would rather face death than to face those things in this life. And I just wrote down two or three, and I want to mention them to us tonight very quickly, and we'll go to the house. Will death be chosen rather than life? Well, I want to say, first of all, when Satan begins to trouble our life. You know, I think we underrate Satan a great deal in our Christian life. And we really fail to reckon him to be the power that he really is. And some people, I get the idea that they really don't even believe there is a devil. But there is. And there may come times that the Lord will allow him to trouble our life. And someone may say, well, now, Brother Hall, I don't believe that I would ever get so troubled by Satan that I'd rather die than I would to live. Well, maybe you're more spiritual than a man by the name of Job. Job was a man, a just man, an upright man. He eschewed evil. He hated sin, in other words. And he was the wealthiest men in all the East. And Satan came before the Lord one day with the sons of God. And the Lord asked him, said, have you considered my servant Job? He said, where have you been? And he said, I've been going up and down through the earth. And the Lord asked him, said, have you considered my servant Job? Well, of course he had. And Satan tells Job, said the Lord said, well, you know, you've got a hedge about him. And said, you give command not to touch him, but said, I'll guarantee you if you take that hedge down and take away all the things that you blessed him with, that Job will curse you to your face. And you know the story, how that the Lord allowed Job. In fact, the Bible said that the Satan moved the Lord against Job to destroy him. And to destroy him for something that he had never done, that he wasn't guilty of. And Satan was turned loose on that man by the name of Job. And he began to work in Job's life. And some things transpired and we're going to read here in a moment, that Job would rather have died than have had to live and face those things that he were facing. You know, there are men today that cannot face life. And they'd rather die than they would to face the life that they're living. I could name preachers tonight, and you know some of them, that have taken their own lives because for some reason or another, something that happened in their life that they could not face and live up to, that they'd rather take their own life than they would to face that. In other words, they chose to die rather than live. And these people today that are taking this medicine, these people that are terminal, they're in such pain and such sickness, and their body is so racked with pain and so forth, that they're taking medicine or calling somebody like this Jack Kevorkian that will help them take their life. And the reason is they do not have enough grace to face what they're facing in life. And they would rather die than they would face what's taking place within their life. Well, Job was a man just like that. I believe it. And Job was a spiritual man. I don't have a doubt in my mind that Job is one of the most spiritual men in the Old Testament, if not in the entire Word of God. Without a doubt, he was a man of God. And the Satan told the Lord, said, if you just put your hand on him and put forth your hand on him and touch his bone and touch his flesh, said that he'll curse you to your face. And the Lord told Satan, said, just go ahead, he's yours, but said, save his life. Do anything to him you want to, but save his life. And you know, one of the things that he did, and for alliteration's sake, I used it this way. I said that Satan touched his boys, and his girls both, by the way. For it says there in verse number 1, and chapter number 1 and verse number 18 and 19, when all these things were happening, where his animals had been destroyed and so on and so forth, the Bible said in verse 18, while he was yet speaking, there came also another and said, thy sons and thy daughters were eating and drinking in their eldest brother's house, and behold, there came a great wind from the wilderness and smote the four corners of the house, and it fell upon the young men, and they are dead, and I only am escaped alone to tell thee. And so there is Job's children. I've alliterated it. I said his boys. They're meeting in his eldest boy's house, and the power of Satan begins to move against Job. And one of the things that he does, he causes a great wind to come, and that house falls upon the children of Job, every one of them, and they all die. Now, folks, I'll tell you, we can read this as just a story in the Bible and let it fly over the top of our head. But we need to understand that what I read, what the words I read to you, something that actually happened years ago in a man's life. There was a man by the name of Job that lived, that was flesh and blood just like you and I. And the devil touched his flesh and his bones, and he part of it he did by taking the life of his own children. Now, I'll tell you, I've never been there. But I'm telling you, friend, I know that it would be grief to my soul if Satan ever began to trouble me with that kind of power, that he could reach his hand down and take the life of my children. You've never been there. Some of you have lost a child, but some of you have never lost all your children in just a moment of time. Can you imagine at the snap of my fingers, you losing all of your children? Well, I'm going to tell you, somebody said, oh, I can make it through that with no problem. I don't know how easy that would be for you, but I know it would be great. It'd be difficult for Brother Hall to make it through something like that without the grace of God. But I'm glad God will give us the grace that we need in times like that to make it if we'll just lean and trust upon the Lord. Amen. I've never had to face that. But I'm telling you, it'd be a terrible thing for your children, for your boys to be taken away from you just like that. Then I want to say, secondly, not only when Satan troubled Job's life, not only did he touch his boys, but he touched his bride. In verse number 2, and chapter number 2 and verse number 9, the Bible says, so Satan went forth from the presence of the Lord and smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took a potsherd and scraped himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes. Notice this in verse 9 now. Then said his wife unto him, dost thou still retain thine integrity? Curse God and die. Not only did the devil touch Job's boys, but he also touched his bride. Now, I'm going to tell you something, folks. Hey, we may think we can get along without our wife, but I'm going to be honest with you. You live with one for a long time like Job would live with this woman. It's going to be hard to get along without her. Now, she's not dead. She just simply turned against Job. She, in other words, her religion that she claimed she had was not all that she claimed it to be. Can you imagine the grief that it brought to his heart to realize that his own wife that he had lived with all of those years and worshipped with all those years did not have the grace in her heart that she said she had all that time that she lived with him. In fact, when all this happened, she said, "Hey, why don't you just curse God and die? You've lost your cattle. You've lost your finances. All of her children are dead. And now the devil has touched your body and touched your bone and touched your flesh. Why don't you just curse God and die at this time?" Job said, "You talk like one of the foolish women. I've got my mind made up." But there's no doubt when his wife made that statement that it broke Job's heart. Now, I know men and preachers especially whose wives have run out on them, left them holding the bag with a family. Like that old song, "You picked a fine time to leave me, Lucille." Amen. But I know a lot of them that have went off and left their husband. And it left them with children. And they didn't have what they said they had. Can you imagine a man trying to raise a family, his own family, without a wife? Well, Job didn't have to worry about the family because he'd already lost his family. But now he's already lost his bride along with it, spiritually speaking. She comes up with the idea, "Why don't you curse God and die?" And I'm telling you, there came a time, and I'll read it to you in a minute, that Job said, "I'd rather die than I would live any longer under the pressure that I'm living under and the grief that is in my soul and the sorrow that's in my heart. I'd rather be dead than to live another minute in this world that I'm living in." That's pretty rough. And then I want to say that Satan not only touched his boys and his bride, but Satan touched his body as well. Verses 7 and 8 there. "So went Satan forth from the presence of the Lord, and he smote Job with sore boils from the sole of his foot unto his crown. And he took him a potsherd to scrape himself withal, and he sat down among the ashes." So now his boys are gone. His wife that he thought was spiritual has turned against him. And now not only has God touched his boys and touched his bride, but the devil touches Job's own body, his own physical body. Now, I'm going to tell you something, friend. I'm not as sick as a lot of people are, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of people out there today that are going through trying experiences with sickness and illness and diseases in their body. I'm just here to tell you. And some of them, I'm sure, that would rather die than they would live another minute in the pain and discomfort that is in their body. Somebody say amen right there. It's going on. It's going on. And here is Job that is broke out in boils from the top of his head to the sole of his foot. He sits down with a potsherd, a piece of clay, and begins to scrape on those boils. And he sits down in the ashes and begins to scrape the corruption out of those boils on his body. And all his wife has got to say to him is, "Why don't you just curse God and die?" Now, I'm going to tell you something. Job had so much grief in his heart over this that I believe, just like I read in our text, that he chose to die. He would choose to die rather than live. I won't say this before I go any further. I'm glad, thank God, that he kept on living. So there came a time down the road when God delivered him from all of it. Now I'm telling you, we may be going through some trying times down here. Our children may be taken from us. Our bride may be taken. The husband may be taken. We may be stricken with disease. But I'm telling you, there's coming a time when God will deliver us from all of our troubles and all of our pain and all of our sorrows and all of our grief and wipe away every tear from our eyes. I can't imagine the tears that Job shed. I can't imagine the brokenness of his heart over what was going on. That's right. But I want you to listen to what Job said. Look in with me, if you would, please. I'll get it here in a minute. In chapter number 2, and look at verse number 5. In chapter number 3. And I'll get it out here in a minute. In chapter number 5, verse number 5, I believe it is. He said, "Let darkness and the shadow of death stain it. Let a cloud dwell upon it. Let the blackness of the day terrify it." Look at verse 11. He said, "Why died I not from the womb? Why did I not give up the ghost when I came out of the belly?" Here's a man that is so grieved and broken in his heart that he makes the statement, "I wish it would have been better for me if I'd have died when I came out of the womb. It'd have been better for me if I'd have died when I was just a baby." His grief was that bad. He chose to die. He would rather die than he would live. In fact, he would rather that the day, that the day had never come that he'd have been called a man child being brought into the world. What it says, I think, in verse number 2, "And Job spake and said, Let the day perish wherein I was born, and the night in which it was said, There is a man child conceived." But look at verse number 19. He said, "The small and the greater there," and I'm just jumping in the middle of this, "and the servant is free from his master. Wherefore is light given to him that is in misery, and life unto the bitter in soul." Can you get a hold of that? Why is light given to him that is in misery and life unto him that is bitter in soul? And you know what he's saying? Why has God given me light? And why has God given me life at all? I'm in such misery and I'm in such bitterness of soul. Why has God given me the light to live? And why has God given me a life to live? I'm in such misery and such torment in my soul that it'd be better for me that I die right now than it would to live another minute in this world the way it is. Now, I'm going to show you, he says that in just a moment. Stay right with me. He said in verse 21, he said, "Which long for death." He said, "I long for death. I hope it comes." Now, friend, you said it ain't never going to get that bad with me. I wouldn't go to that extreme if I were you. It may come your way and it may come my way. Job was a very spiritual man, and he made the statement that he said, "I long for death. I long for death, but it cometh not." And he said, "And I dig for it more than for hid treasures." Can you imagine? He said, "I'm laboring trying to find death." He said, "I'm trying to find a place where I can just lay down and die." I'm telling you, friend, there's a lot of people in this world tonight that would love to just lay down and die if they could do it that way. It would just be that easy to lay down and die. That's what Job said. God would just make it easy enough on me just to lay down and die and get me out of my misery and get me out of my bitterness. I'd be better off that way than I would be living. And he goes on to say, he said, which rejoice exceedingly and are glad when they can find the grave. They rejoice when they find the grave. Amen. He said, why is light given to a man whose way is hid and whom God hath hedged in? For my sighing cometh before I eat, and my roarings are poured out like waters. For the thing which I greatly feared has come upon me, and that which I was afraid of is come unto me. I was not in safety, neither had I rest, neither was I quiet. Yet trouble came. Amen. That trouble came. I'm going to tell you, trouble came with the hand of the devil. And I'm going to tell you, somebody said, "Well, I'm not afraid of the devil." You better get afraid of him. Amen. You know, the problem with us today, that I don't know that there's been a man yet in our generation that God has esteemed highly enough to let the devil put his hand on him. Oh, friend, I'm going to tell you what we talk about, the touch of God. Oh, we sang that song, "Oh, He touched me. Thank God He touched me. I'm glad that God touched me one day." But I'm telling you, friend, if the devil ever puts his hand on us, if God ever allows Satan to touch us, I'll tell you, there could be some things transpire down deep within our soul that would cause us to want to die rather than live in this life that we're living in. Then I think of another situation. Not only when Satan troubles your life, but when sorrow fills your heart. Amen. I think of a man in the Bible by the name of David. I'm going to tell you, if there was a man in this book that I treasure highly, it's David. And, you know, the story of David. He was a man after God's own heart. But in a time when kings go forth to battle, David found himself on a rooftop where he ought not to be. And he committed sin. He committed adultery. And God said, you're going to reap fourfold from it. And that indeed, ladies and gentlemen, he did reap fourfold from it. Through his life, he reaped fourfold through it. But I think the greatest tragedy, it began with his own daughter being raped by her brother. And then David's son slaying his own brother. And then that boy, Absalom, that slayed Amnon, led a rebellion against David. And as David's mighty men of war went out to do battle with all of Israel, David gave the command to Joab and Abishai and the leaders of his, said, don't touch the boy. Now, I'm going to tell you, there's something in that. We can think what we want to think, but I'm telling you, Absalom had to be the apple of David's eye, ladies and gentlemen. He may have put him out of the city and away from him, but I'm telling you, he was still the apple of David's eye. He gave a commandment to those mighty men, said, don't you touch Absalom. Don't put your hand on that boy. But I'm going to tell you, there came a time when Joab found him hanging in an oak tree by the locks of his hair. And a man went and told Joab, said, Absalom's hanging in the tree back there. And Joab said, why didn't you run him through with a dart? Said, I'd give you so much money and so many change of clothes. And that man said, you heard what the king said. Don't put a hand on that boy. Joab went back with his men and began to thrust darts through Absalom while he was yet alive. And that boy hung by the hair of the head in that tree and died a terrible, horrible death. And when the word come back to David about what had happened, he said in 2 Samuel chapter 18 and verse 33, it said, and the king was much moved. Not just moved, but much moved. And he went up to the chamber over the gate and he wept. And as he went, he said, oh, my son Absalom, my son Absalom, listen now, I would God I had died for thee. In other words, I'd rather have died than seen you die. He said, hey, I would choose death over life in this situation. Here is my boy that has rebelled, raised him up in my house. He rebelled against me, and yet my heart still went after that boy. And now he's dead, and I'd be dead and him to be living. Oh, my son Absalom. I'm going to tell you, every time I read that, it breaks my heart. When I think of the sorrow that filled the heart of David when he realized that that boy was hanging up yonder by the hair of his head in the locks of an oak, in an oak tree, by the locks of his hair. Now, I'm going to tell you something. David was grieved. Can I say this? That sorrow run very deep. Amen. That sorrow run very deep, real deep. And he said in chapter 19 and verse number 3, he said, and the people get them by stealth that day into the city, as people being ashamed steal away when they flee in battle. But the king covered his face, and the king cried with a loud voice, O Absalom, O Absalom, my son, my son. In other words, he would to God that he had died rather than that boy to have died. Now, I'm going to tell you, that's some deep grief, folks. Hey, somebody said, well, I'll never be that way. Well, you may have to face that someday. That boy meant so much to David that when he realized he was gone, hey, had it not been for Joab, David would have lost his authority as king on that day. Amen. The people would have saw him as a wimp, if I can put it that way. But I'm going to tell you something, folks. Being filled with grief after the death of your own child is not being a wimp. And what David said, I'd rather that Joab would have killed me and let my boy live. Amen. Amen. That's right. I'd rather have died. I would have rather have died than seen my son Absalom die. I would choose death rather than life in this situation. Or I'd rather be dead than to see him dead. Then I want to say thirdly, and I'm done. Somebody said, I don't believe it. Well, you better believe it. You choose life. You choose death rather than life. when the sovereign's wrath is unleashed upon this world. Turn with me to the book of Revelation, if you would, and chapter number 9, Revelation chapter number 9. I'll probably read the whole chapter.
Amen.
Revelation chapter number 9. The Bible said, and the fifth angel sounded, and I saw a star fall from heaven unto the earth, and to him was given the key of the bottomless pit. And he opened the bottomless pit, and there arose a smoke out of it. Notice that key was given to him. And there arose a smoke out of the pit, as the smoke of a great furnace. And the sun and the air were darkened by reason of the smoke of the pit. And there came out of the smoke locusts upon the earth. And upon them was given power, as the scorpions of the earth have power. And it was commanded them that they should not hurt the grass of the earth, neither any green thing, neither any tree, but only those men which have not the seal of God in their foreheads. And to them it was given that they should not kill them, but that they should be tormented 5 months.
Amen.
And their torment was as the torment of scorpions when he striketh a man. And in those days of tribulation, in that last 3.5 years of the tribulation period, Jacob, the time of Jacob's trouble, the Bible said, and in those days shall men seek death. They'll look for death. And the Bible said, and death and shall not find it, and shall desire to die, and death shall flee from them. I'm going to tell you something, folks. Hey, we've never experienced the wrath of Almighty God. Here's some men that the Bible said that just opened, the angel opened the bottomless pit, smoke came out of it, and out of that smoke came locusts like scorpions, and they were ordered by God to torment men that did not have the seal of God in their forehead for 5 months. Now, I'm going to tell you what, a man can almost stand on his head in a bucket of mud for 5 months and survive it. But I'm going to tell you, the pain was so great on these men that they actually sought death. I believe they even tried to take their life. Oh, somebody said, I don't believe that. Believe whatever you want to believe. I believe that they were so much in pain and misery that they even attempted to commit suicide. And God said, you ain't getting by this easy. You're going to face all of the wrath of God that I've got to pour out upon this earth. Now, you hear what I'm getting ready to tell you. God's wrath, son, is not something to be laughed at. It's not something to be frowned upon or joked about. God's wrath is coming someday on this earth. 3.5 years of literal hell on this earth is coming someday. I'm going to tell you, if you're in a pure lost and left behind in the rapture, you're going to be right smack dab in the middle of it, and you're going to want to die, but death will not come to you. You're going to live through it, friend. Amen. I cannot imagine that. And I wouldn't believe it if I hadn't read it in the Bible. Notice the shapes of these locusts. It's in verse 8. The shapes of the locusts were like unto horses prepared unto battle. And on their heads were as it were crowns like gold. And their faces were the faces of men. Amen. Had a body like a horse and a face like a man. And had a stinger like a scorpion. That's a weird looking creature, isn't it? Wonder what you... Brother Joel said he woke up Friday morning with a bug crawling on him down there in the motel room. I wonder what if he'd have woke up and there'd been one of these bugs.
Yeah.
You're talking about an ugly critter. I'm going to tell you, these things are going to be ugly critters.
Yeah.
And hey, and their work is to torment men.
Yeah.
Somebody said, oh, the God of love that I know wouldn't allow that to happen. I'm telling you, the God of love is going to let that happen someday. I don't rejoice in it. I'm not happy about it. But I have got enough grace about me to warn you and to tell you that there are some things in this life, amen, that are worse than death, ladies and gentlemen. There's some things worse than death. Deep sorrow. Amen. Deep grief. Amen. Deep pain and misery is worse than death sometimes. And I'm going to tell you, these scorpions are some ugly creatures. And notice what it says. And they had hair as the hair of women.
Right.
Now don't, I've got to insert this. Don't you ever dare try to tell me that God does not make a distinction between sexes by the hair on their head. You, the ladies that like to bob off your hair, go on and look like a man if you want to. But these scorpions have got hair like women. Now I'm going to tell you, if they've got hair like women, then the hair of a woman and the hair of a man is different. And the only way I can figure out it's different is certainly not different in color. It has to be linked. Somebody say amen right there. Amen. God help women want to shave their heads and look like them prostitutes down at the Church of Corinth. Come on in the house, boys and girls. But I'm telling you, when those scorpions are turned loose and they've got hair on their head like women, they've got a face like a man, they've got a body like a horse, and they've got a stinger like a scorpion, and their work is to torment men 5 months upon this earth. And when that's the, hey, I'm going to tell you, it won't kill them. It'll just torment them. I don't know how many times they're going to have to take that stinger. They may get stung. They may get hit by them more than once. The Bible said, and they do hurt. And they do hurt. And they'll seek to die and won't be able to. You listen to me tonight. You that are in here or by the radio, and you're lost and without God. I'm telling you on the authority of the Bible, and this is where I've been trying to get to all night. I'm telling you on the authority of the Bible that there's some things coming on this earth that will make man want to die rather than live. He'll choose death over life, but death will flee from him, and he'll never be able to find it. Somehow death will hide. Death will hide from man. The Bible even says here in the book of Revelation that men will cry out for the rocks to cover their face, to cover them up and hide them from the face of him that cometh. I'm not going to be a joyful, pleasant sight. I'm glad I'm not going to be here. Thank God, y'all, the choir sang that song, My Name. I know my name is there in the book of life. I'm glad to know tonight my name's written down in the Lamb's book of life. That's right. I'm not happy about these people that are suffering this, but I sure am glad, thank God, while they're going through it, I'm going to be looking at it from another place. Hallelujah. And another perspective. I'm going to be all over yonder in glory with Jesus. Hallelujah to God. Amen to God. That's right. I got it settled a long time ago. I made my trip up Mount Calvary, and I'm going to tell you, hey, God is an enemy, ladies and gentlemen, to those that are lost and without God. And he'll show himself powerful one of the day. But if you think that is bad, if you think this is something, that's child's play when it comes to God's wrath. There's coming a time when death and hell will deliver up all that's in them. They'll stand before God at a white throne. They'll all be judged. And they will be cast into a lake of fire. Amen. To be tormented forever and ever. Amen. 5 months! Amen. Day's coming a time when the torment will last forever and ever. And I'm going to tell you, I don't see it here, but I can read it between the lines. If you don't think that men in hell would rather die than become extinct, you're crazy. They will. But it won't come. Man will look for death in hell, but death will flee from him, just like it does right here. There'll be no death in hell. Forever and ever 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 and ever. Man will burn in a lake of fire. Preacher that pastors out in Oklahoma used to preach for First Baptist Church. He was a youth pastor. First Baptist Church, Hammond, Indiana, when Dr. Jack Hiles pastored there. And he preached to some children up there one day, and he brought in a big tub, and he preached on hell, and he set a little baby down in that tub, put some gasoline in around it. Then when he got down to the part of burning, he struck a match and lit that gasoline in that tub, and that little baby sat there and started burning. And somebody said, I wouldn't do that. Well, I wouldn't either. I don't believe in those gimmicks and things. I don't believe in that. But that preacher stood there and then looked at that doll and looked at those little young people, and he said, you will burn forever and ever and ever and ever, and you will. Amen. Now, I'm going to tell you, here's what I can't imagine. I can't imagine suffering for 3.5 years of tribulation and 5 months of torment And that's just a start of it. And then suffering for all eternity in hell. Boy, 5 months ain't long, but I'm telling you, going from one hell on earth to hell, literal hell.
Amen. That's right.
I'm going to tell you what. Men will seek death and it'll flee from them. And I wouldn't try to scare nobody. But I'm telling you right now, that friend, you better fear the wrath of God. You better fear the wrath of God. Day's coming today when God will pour out all His wrath and fury upon mankind. All Christ rejectors, all the ungodly.
Amen.
All those that have lived ungodly ways and all you know what ungodly means? Without God, no God, ungodly. They don't have God. They're going to suffer and they'll seek death and can't find it. And I'm telling you, this is just the beginning of it. The waters during the tribulation period will be turned to blood. The fish and the people, everything in the seas will die. The ships and the people that are in the ships and the sea, they'll all die. Horrible things will happen during this time. There will be, you think you've seen hail. People out think they've seen hail in these tornadoes that's been coming. There will be hail balls in the tribulation period. Ladies and gentlemen, that weigh 120 pounds? 120 pounds of ice falling on the heads of people during the tribulation period. You said, well, God can't do it. Well, He can send what He wants to. And I'm going to tell you what, there won't be no place to hide from it. You're talking about torments. They'll seek a place. They'll seek death. And you know what death will say? Bye. They may even take some kind of an instrument to kill a person, a knife or a handgun or something, and try to kill themselves. And God won't let it happen. Somehow, God will not let it happen. You know why? They're going to drink the wrath of God to the last bitter dregs. But thank God, I want to say, thank God on Calvary, He drank my sin to the last bitter drag, amen, and suffered all of the wrath of God, amen, that I wouldn't have to. I'm glad, thank God He died for me on the cross and delivered me from the wrath that is to come, and it's coming. It's coming. Job said, you know something? He said, I'm in such misery, I'd just soon die as live. David said, Absalom, my son Absalom, oh Absalom, would to God it was been me, Absalom. Oh Absalom, my son, I wish it was me instead of you, son. And his heart was broken. But I'm going to tell you, when these men here see those scorpions and that smoke, and those scorpions coming out of that smoke, and get this now, somebody asked me, Brother T asked me the other day, did I believe hell was in the heart of the earth? Well, the Bible said that a key was given to that angel to open up the bottomless pit, and the smoke arose up. And it was like a great furnace. Where was these people at he's talking about? They were on the earth, wasn't they? If the smoke rose up, it had come from somewhere down in the earth, didn't it? I believe hell ain't no further than 14 miles down. You're 14 miles away from hell right now. That's not very far. That's no further than what, from here to Sac? That's not far. And the smoke come up. Out of the furnace. Oh, brother. I'm telling you. What about, I wasn't going to go there, but I will. Somebody mentioned her today. Somebody mentioned her this evening to me, Revelation 19. Said, after these things, I heard a great voice of much people in heaven saying, Alleluia, salvation, glory, and honor and power unto the Lord our God. For true and righteous are His judgments, for He hath judged the great whore which did corrupt the earth with her fornication and hath avenged the blood of her servants at her hand. And again they said, Alleluia! Alleluia! Hallelujah! Amen. God avenged them. Hallelujah for that. He said, and her smoke rose up. They said, Hallelujah. And her smoke rose up how long? Forever and ever. forever and ever, that great whore. Her smoke rose up. And look here, somebody said, well, we ought to rejoice in that. Well, there'll come a time. We don't rejoice in people going to hell right now. But I'm telling you, when that great whore is cast into hell, the saints of God will stand and see her smoke rising up, and they'll say, Hallelujah! Hallelujah! The great whore that deceived the whole world is in hell where she belongs. Amen. And the saints of God will cry again, Hallelujah! For what God has done for us. Amen. That's right. The Bible said in the 24 elders, that's us by the way, and the four beasts fell down and worshiped God. They sat on the throne saying, Amen, Amen, Amen. Hallelujah. You know what that Amen means? It means okay, barely. You've done it right. Amen, Amen. When they see her smoke rising up, they'll say, Amen. You talking about torment. You talking about somebody that wished they were dead and can't die. They'd rather die than live, but they're going to live in that fire forever and ever. And their smoke will rise forever and ever. And the saints of God will look at it and say, Hallelujah!
Amen.
Hallelujah!
Amen.
And it's not so much because they're suffering, but they're saying hallelujah, that it is because we're not.
Amen.
Amen. That's right. Thank God. That's exactly right. The Bible said, and the voice came out of the throne saying, Praise our God, all ye His servants, and ye that fear Him, both small and great. And I heard as it were the voice of a great multitude, as a voice of many waters, as a voice of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah!
Amen.
The Lord God omnipotent reigneth. What about that now?
Amen.
Amen. That's right. The voice will come out of that throne of God saying, Praise our God. Praise God. Amen.
Amen.
And the 24 elders will say, Amen!
Amen!
Amen. That's right! Praise Him! Praise Him! I'm going to tell you something, ladies and gentlemen. We ought to be praising Him.
Amen.
Praising Him. I'm not going there.
Amen.
I'm not going to be left here. No, I'm not going to be stung by those scorpions. I'm going to be in heaven, thank God.
Amen.
But I've been to Calvary and been born again. I've been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. The question is tonight, have you been redeemed?
Amen.
And they said, Hallelujah. The reason they said it, because the Lord God omnipotent.
Reigneth.
Now I'm going to tell you, there's some things that men go through that they'd rather die than live. And they're right in the Word of God. And I'm just telling you what little bit I got on this, I just got this afternoon. No, it wasn't much, I know, but it's what God gave me out of it. Now I want to say as closing, if anybody's here tonight and you're without God, oh, preacher, I don't know about this stuff about the rapture, you know, and it's catching away, and God's people going up to a place called hell. I don't know about all that. You better get to knowing about it.
Amen.
Because it's going to take place. And I'm telling you, I don't care what any preacher's ever told you. I don't care what any man's ever told you. I don't care what any book you've ever read from has told you, those that are left behind that have heard the gospel will burn in hell forever and ever and ever. Now I'm going to tell you, is it worth the chance to you? You're taking the chance every day that you reject God. What if He come tonight and you were left behind? What if the death angel come tonight?
Amen.
And you were taken away. And we were left behind.
That's right.
What if your time expired tonight?
Amen.
And the grim reaper come by your door. You be ready to meet Him?
Amen.
You be ready to meet Him? You ready to meet God?
Amen.
He's coming. And there's some things coming upon this earth whereby men would rather die than they would live. Let's stand together.